So we're good? We're recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Okay, so hello everyone. My name is Cody Nelson.
My name is Kyle Kimblin.
You're going to hear that in a little bit here. We effed up a little bit and recorded the first episode before we did this.
Nothing. So what is this? It's One Hit Wonderful World, right? Yeah,
this is One Hit Wonderful World, and this is just one last little intro segment to clear the air about what this is fully before we go on and start doing just regular episodes that you're going to grow to love and appreciate and not be able to live without.
Right.
So.
Hopefully.
This little part, in a pre-episode, we are talking about what defines a one-hit wonder, correct?
Right.
Because.
This first episode, we're talking about Dexy's Midnight Runners. Now, see, here's the thing. The first question, what does make a one-hit wonder? They actually have two hit songs that charted in the UK.
Yeah.
But they only have one international hit, Come On Eileen.
Mm-hmm. So, I think should we go off US rules?
I think it's going to be open to interpretation.
Right.
Because even though a band may have had only one hit, you know, there's going to be people out there that are familiar with the work, or that, you know, the work is solid, but it's not commercially palatable.
Yeah. And I think there's another little bit of flexibility when you think about the fact that some songs have charted. Like, their one hit was a literal hit that charted. And I think other bands have had a handful of hits chart, but are still known for that one song.
Exactly.
Which I think that's the option we go for.
Right.
Why limit ourselves if there are people that are known as this, even if they don't technically qualify? I think that's fine.
And, you know, I mean, jumping off points, are people's suggestions and these lists that you can find online or anywhere. You know, VH1 did all kinds of this thing where they would talk about the hits.
By the way, anybody, if you have any thoughts here, or at the end of the episode, you're going to hear some potential feedback opportunities for listeners about the episode itself and Dexy's Midnight Runners. All of that can be sent to onehitwonderfulworld@gmail.com. I've got nothing better to do. I'll look at anything that gets sent there, and we'll talk about it at the beginning of the next episode. I think
my point is, like, we're going to decide what we're going to do the episodes on, and if it makes sense that it's a one-hit wonder, then we're going to do it. And if, you know, I don't want to get too technical about things. Like, we're going to, I think you and I are both going to try our best to be able to say very clearly, this is a one-hit wonder.
Yep. Absolutely. But at the same time, if something maybe doesn't quite fit the rules, who fucking cares?
Well,
I suppose there's a specific, like, personal code here.
Right. And I'm very strict
about it. And let's not break that. So let's set it right now. So
this is serious business.
Doesn't have to be a charting hit. It has to be a single song that the band is known by.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. I also don't. What do you think about if somebody did a guest spot on a song? This is the example I'm talking about. Lollipop by Lil Wayne featuring Static Major.
So you're saying that's like a Static Major one-hit wonder?
Yeah. That opens a whole new door, but maybe that's bullshit.
I don't think that's bullshit, actually. No? But it would depend. I mean, like, Static Wonder, does he have...
Static Major.
Well, I don't know, because that's on Lil Wayne's album, you know, and that's a Lil Wayne song.
So I don't...
I think there's a lot of ground to cover before we get there.
Yeah, I think that these are problems. Let's not put the cart before the horse any more than we have to.
Although I do really like that idea, and I think we should maybe go that direction just once.
We'll explore it. Okay, yeah. Well, this is good for me. I think this is a pretty good...
That's it. I mean, this is going to be One Hit Wonderful World.
One Hit Wonderful World. Enjoy the episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye. And I'm just going to break the tension by saying that I have some things to say about this song.
This song itself?
This. This song in particular, yes. We'll be right back. It's really an undeniable song. Only 4 minutes long, this song is. Feels longer.
It does feel longer. It always does feel longer. Now, is that a tempo change that just happened? No.
No, but I think there is one.
Yeah, there is one. Oh, yeah, because it goes, yeah. We're recording right now, right?
We're recording right now. But we can't talk yet because there's about a minute and a half left of the song. Unless you have something that you really need to say. At which point I would say, just talk over the song. But other than that, don't talk. And that's it. That's all she wrote. That was Come On Eileen by Dexys Midnight Runners, for those of you who aren't familiar. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural episode of One Hit Wonderful World, the podcast that dares to dig a little deeper with the concept of the One Hit Wonder. My name is Cody Nelson. Alongside, please introduce yourself, friend.
My name is Kyle Kimblin.
And we're here to take you on a journey through music. I don't know why I'm talking like this. It's not that epic. This isn't some big fantasy quest. What this is, for those of you who didn't listen to the mini episode that I put out yesterday, Kyle and I and various revolving doors of our friends coming through are going to talk about a one-hit wonder per episode. So this first one is about Dexys Midnight Runners. Their hit single, Come On Eileen. Everybody's familiar with it. It's an undeniable song. What we're going to do is we have listened in full to the album that they put out after the album with Come On Eileen.
What's the name of that album?
Don't Stand Me Down, released.
No. The one that has Come On Eileen on.
Come On Eileen is from the album To Rye,
oh yeah,
released in 1982. And so before we get into what they did afterwards, let's talk about the song a little bit.
I mean, it's a jam. Like, it's just catchy as hell. Like, it's got beautiful orchestration, instrumentation. Like,
it's a good song.
There's just so many, it checks so many boxes.
Yeah. To me, I agree with that, but today I realized something as I was listening to it and following along with the lyrics. It's a really rapey song.
What the fuck are you talking about?
It's really rapey. Here's the message I got. The world really sucks right now. Your dad's job is a nightmare, so you should fuck me, because me and my friends really want you to fuck me now that you're legal. If you read along with the lyrics, it talks about, like, how bad life is in England for everyone at the moment, and then segues poorly into acknowledging that Eileen is legal and come on, like, have sex with me.
That's creepy as hell.
It's super creepy. Even more so when you add in the fact that the rest of the band is like the creepy friends hanging out, looking over his shoulder, like, hey, you should fuck him. Like, come on, let him do it. Like, those are, there's like a call and response where he's like, you should have sex with me. And his friends are like, that guy's got a good point. Like, that's most of that song. I feel like that happened a lot back in the day where songs would have like really, really creepy lyrics and then just be huge. Every Breath You Take is another very good example.
I mean, I just think it comes from a little bit more of an innocent place than that.
This song does?
I'd like to think.
I would like to think so. Maybe I just am too cynical when it comes to music.
I would say that's a cynical perspective. Yeah. Personally, yeah.
Maybe I'm just reading too much into it. I don't know.
I mean, it's open to interpretation. But we're not talking about Come On Eileen.
We're not talking about Come On Eileen. That's not the point. We're talking about where these guys went, because everyone's curious what happened to the guys that say Come On Eileen. Yeah. We know.
Well, they're called Dexys Midnight Runners,
yep.
Which a lot of people don't know. And they've had some other names or a prior name.
They went from Dexys Midnight Runners, and then after the album that we're about to talk about came out, they broke up, didn't release an album for 27 years, came back, and just went by Dexys.
Oh.
So they dropped the Midnight Runners part. And here's the best part is the... there are some great quotes from an interview with the guys from Dexys Midnight Runners.
Here's what I'm talking about. The Emerald Express. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, was that their old name?
Well, I thought I saw a record cover that had, like, both the names listed. It was, like, Dexys Midnight Runners.
And the Emerald Express?
Yes, exactly.
So it's like a Sly and the Family Stone, but really, really long.
How many fucking people are in the band?
They
and who are the Midnight Runners, and then who makes up the Emerald Express?
Yeah.
You know,
that's a very tiered system.
Questions for another day, I would say.
But here's what they did at the very end of their career, when they just went by Dexys. There was a great quote. The guy said, he explained the 27-year album gap by saying, I wanted to have material that I felt confident enough about. Track 5 off that album is called She Got a Wiggle.
Oh, my God.
It took him the better part of 30 years to write a track called She Got a Wiggle.
That one sounds
like
it could be creepy, too.
But it's not our job to listen to that one. It was our job to listen to Don't Stand Me Down, the album that caused Dexys Midnight Runners to go from 10 to 4 members.
Right. I mean, why wouldn't you stick around in the band after you hit it big? Did they just know, like, oh, this is the peak? I'm peaking right now.
See, because here's the thing. So I implore everyone that's going to listen to this at any point. We're going to try and play some clips every now and then. But you should pull up the album. And I don't expect you to listen to the whole thing, because here, spoiler alert, it's a pretty bad album.
Spoilers? I mean, I don't think that's, you know, an objective fact. Although I will to say that it is pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. So if you don't listen to the whole thing, just skip around. I have some notes on all of the tracks, because this thing is out there. If you had to guess what Dexys Midnight Runners would do on the heels of Come On Eileen, what would you have predicted? Now, granted, we know now.
I mean, I thought it would be a pop album, for sure. I mean, it's a pop album, but, like, it's not... Oh, my God. So much of it is not tasteful.
It's not tasteful at all. It's not subtle. I wrote here, it's a rock opera written by 4 accountants.
Oh, that sounds really perfect, honestly.
It's like, it's so, just failed ambition is what I would call this.
Yeah, that's a good descriptor, I would say. I mean, I listened to it twice today.
Whoa, okay.
Right, because I really wanted to be prepared for this podcast.
And... Well, neither of us have secured our jobs yet, so if we fuck up, we might get replaced, so that's fair.
Sure, yeah, totally. You're right. I mean, I kind of want to talk about a track list, but, like, fuck it, man. I don't even know where to start. Yeah, exactly.
Like, so, the first thing I thought of, it's probably the first thing you thought of, I pulled up the album. These songs are really long.
They are pretty long, yeah. Well, okay, so now I was listening to the Apple Music stream of
it. Same.
So the second track is an extended version, it says on Apple Music.
Yeah.
So not maybe by there much. Wasn't that ridiculous talking bit in the beginning.
So here's
like, we're okay, first of all, we're one track in. The Occasional Flicker is the first track. You know, you want to come out swinging.
Yeah.
And they don't. Just don't. It's this sort of meandering blues thing, right?
Yep. With like some really kind of calm, shimmering keys in the background. And the second half of it is a conversation about heartburn.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yep. Yeah. And then, I mean, so you go from that into the second track where there's another spoken word intro.
Yeah. So the first track, 5 minutes and 49 seconds, which is a sprint compared to the 13-minute behemoth that is track two.
Right.
About half of both of these songs are small talk, literally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The lyrics are seem to be all small talk.
Yeah.
I mean, not all, but like, what is he doing? Okay, so the Warren Zevon song that's in this album?
I read about that, but I didn't see it.
One of those things. Oh, my God. It hits you over the head. It's track four. One of those things. The riff is just from Werewolves in London. Like,
yeah, okay. That's really funny that you bring that up, because I have here that track four, I wrote down, this is just Sweet Home Alabama. It's like they went...
Which I thought it was, too. I thought it was Sweet Home Alabama at first, and then I was like, no, I always confuse this. It's Werewolves...
Here, I'm going to play a little bit. I'm going to play the beginning of track four, just so you get the idea of what we're talking about. It's like they went, hey, what's the worst part about Sweet Home Alabama? It's too short and too melodic. Let's make it 3 minutes longer and just talk over it.
Well, okay, let's be clear. The riff is from Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. That piano line and the bass line.
That's what that's from?
That whole riff is from Werewolves of London.
Huh.
And I read on Wikipedia that they reissued this album and they credited Warren Zevon in the reissue. Warren Zevon and some other songwriters, I think.
Interesting.
But yeah, what the fuck? See, the reason I think you think it's Sweet Home Alabama is because of that Kid Rock song.
All Summer Long, yeah, that is.
And like, it's so sad that this Dexy's Midnight Runner album made me think of Kid Rock.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way.
It definitely made me think of Kid Rock. But it's weird because this is the scenario where I would say Kid Rock did that song better.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't understand. Did this man, Kevin Rowland, did he just like get so puffed up from Come On Eileen that he decided like...
Is this an ego trip?
What is this album? Is it a concept album? Is it like... Is it a long story?
So I'm going to play a little bit of track two, the beginning of track two. This is what she's like. This is the 12 and a half minute long one. It's very theatrical. It's what made me start to think that they were approaching it like a rock opera a little bit, because they're talking over the music and then they transition into singing the way you would see in like a musical. I feel like I'm missing, this is like a cast recording of a musical, you know?
Right.
And it's so, like, it's like they're trying to smack you in the face with how boring the subject matter is, which makes me think that there's something I'm missing. Listen to this. They're muttering to each other.
I mean, even if it is deeper than I'm currently seeing, it's just not a good album. It's not fun to listen to.
No.
There was nothing... I don't know. It was a pain to listen to it the second time.
Okay, so what happened at the end of the first one? So you were just like, I must have missed something. I'm going to take it again.
Well, I mean, you know, I really did want to be familiar with it.
That's fair. I couldn't have done that if I wanted to.
I just had the time. I mean, I listened to it this afternoon before work, and then I listened to it at work. So.
Yeah. Were there people at work with you?
Yeah.
What did they have to say?
No one was digging it.
Did you tell them why you were listening to it?
I did explain the concept of why I was listening to it. And then I told them I was doing
this. It doesn't really defend it much.
No, no one was... I didn't see a single person jamming out to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
No one came up and was like, hey, is this Warren Zevon? But yeah, that's fine. I was going to be like, it's Dexy's Midnight Runners. You probably haven't heard of them.
Yeah, you could have played that. You could have seemed really cool.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you still listen to Come On, Eileen? You're missing out.
Oh, my God. Missed opportunities.
Then there's the two short tracks at the end.
The two short tracks, the last track is a self-described waltz.
Yep.
But it's like 8 minutes long. That's not short at all.
Nothing gets me going to close out an album like a 3-4 waltz that lasts 9 minutes. But I will say the last minute and a half of this record are probably my favorite. I'm going to play it for you right now. They get into this groovy, like, little triplet thing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And this is still very, like, by the books. So it says a lot that this was what touched me the most. You know, it's... What I don't get is, on the Come On, Eileen album, it was called Two Rye, and they were all dressed like the fucking Newsies.
Yeah.
And now they look like... Look at the album art. It's them all in suits. Now they look like the people that run the place that sells the paper. I think the Newsies just got a job, but they still wanted to do their musical thing. So they're like, fuck it, man. We'll just do it from the top floor. And now it's boring as shit.
Oh, my God. That's a good point. I mean, you know, they're artists, right? So
yeah.
there's a message here.
And who am I to, I totally like pigeonhole them because I just think of them in that Come On, Eileen lens.
I guess so. I'm not a lyrics guy, so I didn't like really pay attention to the lyrics themselves, I'll admit, but delivery wise, there's a part where the lead singer goes a cappella. It was kind of bad. It was kind of like, I'm not really sure, like, what about it was bad exactly, but, I mean, he might have been off pitch.
I thought the vocals were atrocious. I completely forgot until you told me that. He is unintelligible in a number of ways.
Yeah.
He finds more than one way to sing in a style that is completely impossible to understand.
Yes. Another thing about this is, like, you know, Come On, Eileen is very bright and poppy, and it just, like, it's very full. It's lush.
Yeah.
Maybe
they released this album to combat that. Maybe they didn't want to be that anymore.
Yeah, but, like, I can't hear things very well. It's very dark. It's not, I mean, it's bland.
Yeah.
Even if you were trying to combat that, like, make it sonically full, it's very... Not. It's very, dark. It just wasn't good. I mean, and I noticed, too, because I was listening to other, you know, albums before and after it.
Yeah.
And, just dried out a room.
Can you find a pro?
A pro?
The only pro I can find is that it's an ambitious record.
Yeah, there's ambition, for sure. You know, they had a bunch of session musicians playing the parts. Like, the musicianship itself, as far as, like, individual performances, are good, I would say. There's just nothing that really stands out to me as a great moment, per se.
Yeah.
I kind of just, like, am giving it credit for the sake of it. I mean, you know, it's not terrible. It's not the worst album commercially released I've ever heard.
Right. It required skill to execute.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, that's why they're a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. So that's the thing, is there's no universe in which they weren't destined for more. I feel like that's a thing that we should do on this show as we continue to listen through these.
Were they destined for
it? Were they wrongly... And this is just two fucking people's opinions on this. But, like, did they deserve to be a one-hit wonder? I know that's really harsh.
Did Did they deserve to be a one-hit wonder?
Because
I don't like the frame of the question.
I don't know how to phrase it, though. Like, I feel like we're going to be looking at a lot of these different artists. I want to, but I guess that's kind of unfair to quantify it and, like, rank it all.
What it seems like to me is that they were a good band. Maybe they got some money behind them. They recorded the album that had Come On Eileen on it. And, you know, whatever it was awesome. That song is a great song. It will be played for years to come.
It will outlive us, that's for sure.
Well, maybe, yeah. I don't know. But it just fizzled so quick. I don't know if the main guy, did he get a big head? Or there was some other kind of story that broke up the band. Like, why did these members leave, you know? It's kind of mysterious, actually.
Yeah, because the saxophone player in the band left after they'd finished recording.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay, that's right.
Yeah, they dropped from 10 to 4 members. A bunch of them left before they even started making this album. And then a couple people left after they'd recorded it. So it's got to be the big head thing. I bet he was a nightmare in the studio, which is why this came out so disjointed. And that's probably why the dude left after recording.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obligated.
Kevin Rowland, if you're out there and you're listening, feel free to call in. We'll have you on episode 2. Feel free to dispute any of our claims.
Well, no, we're not going to have you on episode 2.
Okay. Well, down the road.
We'll incorporate you in some
fashion. We've got a pretty big backlog of guests dying to get on this thing, so we can't just get in right away.
That's true.
But that would be a lot of fun, is we make a claim about an artist, and we are able to get them on the show to defend themselves. Or just talk about it. Or just have a conversation about it.
What level of narcissism would it take for Kevin Rowland to come in and talk to us about that? Because it would be an obscene and unbearable amount of narcissism.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So maybe it'll happen.
Who knows? So maybe it'll happen. I don't know. I just think that most of the people that have made, God, I feel like everything I say is so condescending. I'm trying not to be. I'm trying to come at this from a way that, like, appreciates and tries to explore the artist deeper rather than just shitting. And God, I feel like looking back now, I feel like we kind of just shat on that album for about 20 minutes straight.
I mean, so be it, man. I don't know.
They're not all going to be great.
It wasn't good.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I'm kind of, you know, how is it going to be? Are we going to find that we don't like these albums? Are we going to find that we do, you know, is there going to be a diamond in the rough kind of situation? Like, really, you guys should check out this album. Probably not for Aqua.
Yeah.
But, you know.
That's the thing. If people are listening to this and they have good one-hit wonders, a friend of mine, I told her this idea and she gave me one that I had never even, I totally forgot about. The guy who's saying This Is Why I'm Hot. Mims? Totally forgot about that guy.
Mims, yeah. Oh, yeah. Music Is My Savior.
Music Is My Savior. Yeah, exactly. So if you have one of those, or there's a one-hit wonder that just in particular sticks with you, let us know, because I really want to like some of these records. Yeah, and I think it's possible.
Maybe.
I dug into the second Eagle Eye Cherry album. Not bad. Not. It was better than this.
Really?
So I think it's possible.
Well, I think we need to talk about the song that was probably trying to be the next Come On Eileen.
Yep.
The most Come On Eileen-ish song.
Did anything on Don't Stand Me Down try and replicate Come On Eileen?
There was a song.
Okay.
I don't remember which one it is. But there is a song, and it's upbeat, and it's got like a horn melody or maybe a string melody in there that was pretty similar. No, this is The Cure, though.
I forgot that they did a song for the record.
Yeah, track 4, I think, maybe.
One of those things.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Warren Zevon thing.
Yeah, you know, it just wouldn't be a Dexy's Midnight Runner song without an ill-placed country music instrument.
That's what it is. It's reminisce.
Oh, my God. This song is literally him naming songs he likes. He just talks.
Is this the song?
It can't be. It cannot be. He's like kicking back in his overalls up against a tree by the creek. Like he's got a cattail in his mouth. And he's just like talking about songs he likes and he met this girl. That's all it is.
Well, where the fuck is the song then?
I don't know. I just hope in these clips, guys, that you're hearing what we're playing for you. Because this isn't... We didn't write this as a bit for the show. These are actual Dexy's Midnight Runner songs. Now we're just skipping through some tracks.
It must be this. Yeah, this is it. Listen to this.
That's the name of the song. Clever, right? And what is he saying?
When the chorus comes, it's very Come On Eileen-ish, but it was almost as if he like...
Even now, listening back, I feel less confident about it.
Well, it was almost as if like he was trying... He knew he was going to try to replicate it, and so he didn't replicate it by removing instruments and making it less fun.
Sure.
Either that or he's not a very good songwriter.
So maybe...
I mean, the fact that a bunch of the members left indicates to me, you know, that maybe he would just... you know, because he's not able to do it by himself, it appears.
Yeah, here. That's true. So it's like he almost knew that people were going to expect him to try again. So he sort of like flipped it.
Well, that's two different things.
Yeah.
I think it's maybe a confluence of both of those factors. This is not.
It's bad.
Yeah. Now, it is kind of a... It does have a bit of a concept album type thing, though,
yeah, because... Yeah, it's 7 tracks, but 47 minutes long. There are 5 songs.
The Occasional Flicker.
6 minutes long or longer.
This Is What She's Like. Knowledge of Beauty, which was originally called My National Pride. One of Those Things, Reminisce Part 2, Listen to This, and The Waltz.
One last thing that... And I after hearing ourselves talk about this for so long, anybody who's listening, you really got to dive into the album at least a little bit, or a lot of this isn't going to make sense. And therefore, so keep us afloat by listening to the album and appreciating it with us, be it good appreciation or bad appreciation. Knowledge is Beauty, track 3. It's like a public domain patriotism song. It's very prideful, but not prideful about anything in particular. The last line of the song...
A Creative Commons national anthem.
Yeah, exactly. The last line is, my national pride is a personal pride. But he doesn't declare it towards a country or a person.
Isn't it about a woman? Isn't it about a girl?
I don't know. That's the thing. All these songs could either be about a woman or the United Kingdom. The way he spins the lyrics.
So political, and yeah, I didn't realize it.
The best part of the 13-minute song is that it's literally a conversation between these two guys. I'm saying literally so much because...
It's so
bad. This album is so literally so many things. But on this song, it's two guys talking to each other. One of the guys is asking the other guy, what could a woman be? And then the other guy's like, here is me listing We Didn't Start the Fire style, all the things that a woman could be. And then he does it again. He asks again. And the second time, the guy's like, this is what a country could be. And so he's like, he's flipping between women and politics. And then at the end of the fucking song, like one guy goes, I'm trying to tell you. So it's been 13 minutes and they still haven't figured it out. No resolution has been reached. It's been a 13-minute argument that no one wins. But we definitely lose.
Who's dancing at the end in the waltz then?
Ooh, is that like a metaphor, or do you have the answer?
Well, I don't have an answer.
I mean, the horn and the saxophone are dancing at the end of the waltz. I like the instrumentation at the end of the waltz. It's very like Disney, kind of like farmhouse, like butterflies and birds are flying around. It's a beautiful backyard, very idyllic.
It's funner than the rest of the album.
Yeah.
For sure. There's a point at which he's doing the acapella thing, I think, and he launches into a song, and then his conversational partner just kind of goes, oh, yeah, like, as the song has, like, geared up.
I feel like this guy tricked a dude to come into the studio and talk, and then he just started singing, and the guy's like, oh, all right, I'll just hang out while you sing, then.
No, I think he must join in.
Yeah, I just want to know, is there anything that you haven't said yet about this album that you feel you need to? Would you tell somebody to listen to it to, like, understand the failure? Or would you say that they're better off not at all?
Well, a critic referred to this as a neglected masterpiece.
That's probably right.
No. Hold on a second.
Okay, sorry, please.
We need to think about this right now. A journalist of some sort said that this is a neglected masterpiece, and this is on a list of 1,001 albums you need to hear before you die?
Yeah.
So people are saying that you need to listen to this album. Do I agree with that? No. Not at all.
Not at all. Okay.
I don't see. You can hear music of this type done so much better so many different places. There is a version of every song on this album individually done better by somebody else. I guarantee that.
All right.
So do you listen for this theatrical kind of aspect to it? Like, are you listening for the story?
Yeah.
Are you listening for this man guiding you through track by track? You can do that if you want, but...
No, that's fair, and I think I figured out a way to phrase that question. So, I'll rephrase it. Do you think that they should remain a one-hit wonder to people? Is that a better way of saying it?
Well, Ian, no, because, see, I am of the opinion, well, I listen to this album, why shouldn't you, I guess,
yeah.
You know? Like, don't block anything off. Should they remain a one-hit wonder? Everyone's lives will go on, you know? Like,
sun's still going to rise tomorrow, whether or not you've heard the third Dexys Midnight Runners album.
In the clearest sense, like, everything is going to be just fine.
I want to tell people to check it out, but...
And for the sake of this podcast...
For the sake of the podcast, at least, like, 10 of you just do it. But overall, I found myself, like, browsing the internet or, like, checking and seeing how far through... Or, like, knowing that we were 8 minutes into the 12-minute song and being, like, 4 minutes in. There are a lot of those moments where it just takes longer than its running time to get through.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, I gotta say, don't check it out. But check it out to keep us alive.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that wraps up episode one of One Hit Wonderful World.
See, I want to hear if people do listen to this album. I want to hear what their thoughts are. I want to hear...
Yeah.
You know, do you have a different opinion? Do you think people should listen to this album?
Do you? Okay, yeah. Especially if you had an opinion on Dexys Midnight Runners before listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah, that would be
great. I would be interested in hearing what you have to say. Definitely, yeah, Kyle's got a great point. If you have a opinion on this, please let us know, whether it's agreement or disagreement. We'd love to talk more about it. So we'll rig up some kind of Facebook page and make it easy for people to figure that out, all the typical social media stuff.
Yeah, Facebook, SoundCloud.
We're definitely on SoundCloud already. We'll try to get it on iTunes by episode 2, which is going to be talking about Crazy Town, the people that sang Butterfly, with our friend Lizzie Gardner. So we have a guest for episode 2, and she's enthusiastic. She's really enthusiastic about talking about Crazy Town, so I'm really excited. That'll be out next Friday. Thank you so much to all of those who are listening and will listen and have listened. Episode 1 in the bag. How do you feel?
Great.
I feel great too. All right. Thanks a lot, everyone. Have a great night.